Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So I can be a Chinese woman.
Sure.
But I can't be a 6'5" Chinese woman.
Yes.
Daddy is a her?
Suppose you agree that he can't actually have babies, but that he can have the right to have babies.
God created male and female in his own image. He is not a god of confusion. All of what we're seeing in our society today is simply hatred for God.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We are here because we understand the power of prayer. Today is not about symbolism. It is about substance.
Sorry, this is Wretched Radio. Those words coming out of the mouth of Miss Symbolism herself are a little bit more than ironic. That was the voice of Paula White. She's the head of the Faith Office in Washington, D.C., leading a Trump prayer breakfast that turned into an ecumenical fest deluxe. Paula White leading the charge and telling us this isn't about symbolism. If it's not about symbolism, then why are you doing it publicly with cameras? Why do these events have to be so public? Why do so many Christian events have to happen in front of a government structure? Of course, this is symbolic. They're obviously trying to make a statement. If anybody knows about symbolism and putting on a show, it's Paula White.
And we gather because we believe in this power of prayer to bring peace in the storm, clarity in chaos and confusion, unity in division, and strength in weakness.
Now, please note, on the dais, there are a number of religions represented. Has she made any distinctions to make sure that she is not violating 2 John? You say, what's a violation of 2 John? It reads thusly, many deceivers have gone out into the world. Speaking of Paula White, who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. So these are probably Gnostics, but they just don't think that God could be flesh. He maybe appeared as flesh, but he actually wasn't because flesh is bad. That's basically Gnosticism. It's also, it's kind of related to Greek dualism. Physical things, this stuff, it's tainted. It can be dirty. It can be bad. It can be harmful. Spiritual things. Therefore, if Jesus is God, he can't have a body. So was the conclusion of a number of heretics in the early church, John already addressing it in 2 John. Many deceivers have come into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. Let's go to the footnotes. It's been a bit since I've encouraged you, if you do not have a MacArthur Study Bible, to get one. Read the entire New Testament, any order, at your own pace, but read every single footnote as you go, and you're going to learn so much. For instance, if I were reading this without really thinking it or willing to go research it, many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and an antichrist. All right. And then I just glossed by, who is he talking about? Let's just go see if MacArthur has an explanation for this, which is verse 7. Oh, he does, citing a number of cross-reference verses that you can go look up. John gives limits for Christian hospitality. This is the centerpiece of John's thought in this epistle. So in other words, we're getting into the section. He does a preamble, he does a greeting, and a very brief benediction at the end. But the short message inside of 2 John is, don't be unbiblically ecumenical. Watch out how you partner with people who do not share your beliefs, because it sends the wrong signal. Now, in this day and age, it was hospitality. You bring in an itinerant preacher, which, by the way, John addresses in 3 John. We are supposed to bring them in. And not to digress too far from my digression, Matthew chapter 25, when Jesus says, what you've done unto the least of these, my brothers, you've done it unto me. Liberals, Roman Catholics would take that and say, aha, social justice. We're supposed to have feeding programs. We want the government to take care of everybody because that's what Jesus said. That's not what he said, at least not in that verse. That verse is related to 3 John. What you have done to the least of these, my brother, who's he talking about? He's not talking about all of humanity. The New Testament never uses the word brothers that way to describe everybody in the world. It's either somebody you're related to with blood or a spiritual brother. In the context, and I think it goes back to Matthew chapter 10, the sending of the disciples, could be wrong on that chapter, but he talks about the rewards of people who take care of them, his brothers that he has sent out. And 3 John then reiterates that we are to take care of those who are missionaries, who are itinerant ministers. That is who is being addressed in Matthew chapter 25. It is not a call for social justice. It is a marker of a genuine convert, aka a sheep, versus a false convert or unbeliever, aka goat. They don't take care of ministers. They don't take care of gospel preachers. True believers do. So we are called to it. So as long as I've digressed from my digression, this is 3 John. It's really clear that the first of all, in Matthew, it's clear that he's not talking about social programs. He's not talking about being somehow liberal in our politics. He's talking about the criteria for separating the sheep from the goats. So this is 3 John, not to be confused with 2 John. We can do the math ourselves, Friel. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. Hospitality is good, unless, as you read in 2 John, you are hospitable toward a false teacher. And this is really the clearest section in the Bible about ecumenism. Well, okay, there's others that we shouldn't be unequally yoked with somebody who's not a believer. But I think this is more helpful when it comes to understanding what do we do in public with people who are a different denominational stripe or just a different religion altogether. Many deceivers have gone out into the world. So here's the footnote then from MacArthur. John gives limits for Christian hospitality. This is the centerpiece of his thought. Since Satan comes as an angel of light, believers must be on guard against error by having an intimate acquaintance with the truth, who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. Okay, this is the part I was looking for. Here's this is the footnote, which is why if you don't have a MacArthur Study Bible, please get one. It will do you good. Here's what it says. The original language conveys the idea of a habitual denial of the undiminished deity and humanity of Christ. A biblical Christology maintains that Jesus Christ's nature was both fully God and fully man, with all the implications for the fulfillment of redemptive purposes. The essence of the severest error in false religions, heresies, and cults centers in a denial of the true nature of Jesus Christ. Now tell me that wouldn't help you when you read through these verses. And then it goes on to deal with all of the other verses, but we'll plow ahead. Look to yourselves that you do not lose those things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward. Here it comes. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Christology is crucial. Here's our verse. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not be hospitable. Don't even greet this person, because in doing so, you share in their evil deeds. Now, it doesn't mean you adopt their heresy, but it does mean you're affirming it. Hey, false teacher. How you doing, heretic? Don't do that. While it is true that may have just been cultural in the first century, the principle for the 21st century is don't do anything that sends the message, I'm okay with this person. Let's go back to the MacArthur study notes to see what he says about this subject. You share in their evil deeds. Explanation: hospitality to such leaders aids the spread of their heresy. See, I missed that part right there. That's why these are so helpful. I was focusing on, hey, you're endorsing false teaching. You don't want to be guilty of that. And MacArthur brings out not only that, if you do something in this instance to help somebody who's a false teacher, you give to them, you support them in some way, then you're propagating the false teaching. Back to the study notes. You give the impression of sanctioning the teachings of these antichrists. supreme loyalty to God and his word alone must characterize the actions of every true believer. That's why I encourage you to get yourself a MacArthur Study Bible so that you will not be guilty in this instance of practicing unbiblical ecumenism, which I think was in full bloom on the White House lawn led by Paula White.
Prayer is not a religious act. It's a national necessity.
Actually, I think it is a religious act.
And as senior advisor to President Trump of the newly created and historic White House Faith Office.
Yeah, I'm amazed at how nervous she is. She's a professional speaker. And that's about it, by the way. She's a professional speaker. She's nervous.
I do carry a great responsibility to ensure that the voice of faith is not only heard,
faith,
but also honored.
This is almost King Charles-like. Not Christianity, please make no mistake about it. This is all religions.
At the highest levels of government. And under President Donald Trump's leadership, faith has not been pushed aside. It has been brought back to where it always belongs, and that is center.
And it's all religions, as we are about to hear. What did these people pray? Do we have fellowship with those who pray to a different God? Should we be on a platform with those who do not represent the true and living God? Or should we flee from this type of ecumenism? Next on Wretched Radio.
You know what's remarkable? Currently, right now, at this present time, there are over 4 million podcasts in production. And something unexpected has happened. Fortis Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts, all of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, 3 of them in the top 2%. Now, we're not here to shout from the rooftops about rankings. We're actually here because truth matters. For 25 years, we've been steadfast. First as Wretched Radio, then as Gospel Partners Media, now standing firm as Fortis Institute. Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Gifford, John Krotz, Libby Gloss, and real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortis Plus app. Completely free. Hundreds of hours of content already there. Absolutely free. Download it. Use it. Share it. And then partner with us at FortisInstitute.org because we truly believe the church deserves better. FortisInstitute.org.
For 25 years, we've watched Christianity's place in America change dramatically.
This is Wretched Radio.
But one thing hasn't changed: our commitment to proclaiming God's truth without compromise. A quarter century of preaching the gospel, equipping others to preach the gospel, and strengthening the local church. 25 years of equipping pastors. 25 years of helping Christians navigate an ever-changing world with biblical wisdom. From our early days to our current home at Fortis Institute, we've had one mission: equipping believers to stand firm in their faith. Today, we're creating more content than ever before. Hundreds of hours of audio and video resources, daily biblical teaching and tools to help you thrive. Thank you for standing firm with us for a quarter century. Together, we've built something extraordinary for the kingdom of God. Visit FortisInstitute.org and join us as we continue this vital work. 25 years of together, faithfully serving our King. And we're just getting started.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King.
So if we were going to be honest with one another, we would have to admit that every day our phone buzzes with celebrity scandals and political outrage and notifications of TikTok trends, all the stuff that doesn't matter. But what if your phone could deliver something different? Because it can. Meet Fortis Plus. If you haven't already downloaded it yet, I want to urge you to take that opportunity right now. It's free and it will replace noise with nourishment. Picture this: 7 new pieces of content every single day. And I'm not talking clickbait or gossip. I'm talking real truth for real life. The app is already full of hundreds of hours of content. Again, completely free. And when I say free, I mean free. I don't mean hidden costs and temporary trials and premium tiers. No subscription traps at all. Because while everyone else all over the world is selling you something, we are giving something away. Fortis Plus. Download it right now where you download your apps, or just go to fortisplus.org, because what feeds your mind shapes your life.
Know your reformers. John Wycliffe, called the Morning Star of the Reformation, was a professor at Oxford in the 1300s, who preached against papal authority in matters of doctrine, politics, and church practice. After his death, his bones were dug up, burned, and spread over the river. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome to the White House Ecumenical Fest. This is Wretched Radio. There was a prayer breakfast on the lawn of the White House. A number of religions were gathered to pray, to show the importance of prayer, led by Paula White. Let's eavesdrop, shall we?
Now, let's pray. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus with open hearts and a surrendered spirit.
Okay, I like thee in the name of Jesus. Let's give credit where credit is due.
Humbled by your mercy and grateful for this moment. Thank you for the nation. Thank you for your hand upon America. And thank you for every faith leader and leader and their voice that is gathered here today. We lift up President Donald Trump, our president and my friend. Cover him, keep him, surround him with divine supernatural protection. Let every assignment of the enemy roll off of him.
Okay. I've got a really small video. Jimmy, were his eyes closed at any point except when he was blinking?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
And every purpose of heaven be fulfilled in him. Grant him wisdom beyond human understanding and capability.
Okay, sorry. All I can focus on is that she needs a drink of water. Let's move to a Jewish rabbi, shall we? Jimmy, my understanding is you told me you had to cut this up quite a bit.
I think the Jewish rabbi, yeah.
He started praying.
And then he
started preaching.
Yeah.
And got a little lost and then came back to it.
That's right. Almighty one and only God who was, is.
No, I'm sorry. He denies Christ. So he's not praying to the one and only God.
Almighty one and only God who was, is, and always will be, who created us all and everything that we see. We seek your grace and humbly ask for your blessing.
Grace? You're seeking grace? That's ironic.
Our nation and our world ache. As disaster, conflicts, and division rage, we pray for the president as he works so hard, and we ask that you please help him succeed.
Okay, here's what I'm getting from this. We've got a theme going on already. It's all about bless the nation, bless the religious leaders, in particular, bless President Trump. Okay, those prayers are appropriate, but there are bigger prayers that we should be praying that we often neglect. Most likely, when we get together to gather for prayer, not with imams and rabbis. What do we tend to pray about? Maybe your church prays a lot about politics. I suspect not. Jimmy, if I asked you, what is the number one prayer request about? What do you think the answer would be? The number one thing that people ask for themselves and for others.
Healing. Health.
Yep. Health.
Yep.
Health. There's somebody sick. Heal this. Help. We're in trouble here. And that is a perfectly great prayer. But I think there's greater prayers. Consider Paul's prayers. Please go read his prayers. He breaks into prayer, especially in Ephesians 3. His prayer for the Ephesians is that they would know the love of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, they were spiritual prayers, not just health prayers, not just protection prayers, not just political prayers. They're prayers for spiritual well-being. Those are more important prayers. And we want to make sure that we're not guilty of neglecting those. All right, Jimmy, so you cut this in two.
Yes.
I'm going to the last minute. Here okay. we go,
and
the
finally,
rabbi.
Dear God, please help us find harmony here at home, even as we vigorously debate the important issues and defend the rights of those who wish to speak in peace, to say their piece. Let us remain...
Like babies in the womb. Sorry.
In mindful of those timeless words of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Menachem M. Schneerson of sacred memory.
It's got it. If we don't get a Maimonides in here.
Who taught that the best way to bring together two feuding sides is to focus how they are actually all on the same side.
Now, is he praying still or did he kind of just tell us a little lecture?
As we are one society, one nation, living under you, God, in whom we trust, guided by your hand and your will, ultimately indivisible with liberty and justice for all. And may we usher in the long-awaited time your prophets have promised.
Can't wait to hear what this is.
Of peace and understanding between peoples.
That's only brought in through Messiah.
Kindness and grace. No more war or conflict with the coming of Mashiach.
There you go.
Righteous Redeemer.
Okay.
Soon in our day.
Okay. I can affirm that because it is Mashiach who's going to bring that peace. Only after a whole lot of tribulation, but he's the one who's going to make the lion and the lamb to lie down together. Oh, I've never been shy about this. I like Jewish people. I just like them. And it breaks my heart. They're so smart. Not all of them, obviously, but as a rule, they're just very smart. And their Messiah has already come and he's offered them everything. And they reject him. Next up, Bishop Robert Barron. He's Roman Catholic.
Heavenly Father, Sovereign King, we bless you, we praise you, and we thank you for all your benefits to our country. We know that the rights we enjoy to life, to liberty, to the pursuit of happiness.
All political prayers. Let's try the Imam.
Let us pray. Today's a great day, made even more memorable by this event. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Jimmy, go ahead.
Yeah.
Do I have to do everything?
In the name of God, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
Okay, now, Paula White's got her head bowed. Everybody on the dais has their head bowed. This is not the same God. Allah is not the God of the Bible. How do I know? Because Islam denies Christ. If you do not affirm Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh, and I think be a principle and application, all of the divine distinctives of Jesus Christ, the ontological nature, and how is it that we've got two natures, one God? How is he fully God, fully man? Those things must be affirmed, or you do not believe in the only true and living God.
Oh God, the source of peace, the bestower of wisdom, the one who is near to all.
He's as close as your jugular, says the Quran.
Call upon you with sincerity. We pause and turn to you with hearts of humble.
I'm trying to recall, a few weeks ago, I went looking for all of the Bible verses that talk about God's love. There's just several hundred. I then went to look for all of the verses in the Quran that talk about God's love, and they do exist. There, if I recall, could be wrong about this, but I'm not because I'm a talk show host. There were about six. And it was interesting, the string that was connected to God's love. For those who do these things, if you do these things, then Allah will love you. In other words, his love is predicated on your performance. That is not the God of the Bible, who loves despite our performance. I think we've forgotten this in our conservative circles, and I think I understand why. Protestantism has gone down such a slippery slope. These silly evangelical show people, because it's men and women these days, that have turned Christianity into this big gloppy mush fest. And how's about mainline Protestantism? That it's just ooey gooey love and just God adores us. And we go, whoa, but the reality is the Bible is replete with the message God is love. That's the way he describes himself. He's love. He doesn't love. He is love. He can't help but love because that's what he is. That's our religion. It's the God of love. I wonder if we've forgotten that to a degree. Was reading some Puritans. Oh, their language. I think it was Thomas Vincent. The Christian's love or the believer's love, the Christian love for the unseen Christ, something like that. Jimmy, maybe you can Google Thomas Vincent, real sweet Puritan writer. The love that we have for the, although you don't see him, you love him. That he wants us to love him. Why? Because he loves us. That's our religion. That's our faith. We're the religion of love. Sorry. It's not Islam. Jimmy, you got it? Thomas Vincent?
It's searching.
Oh, wow. What kind of internet do you... We've got crazy internet here.
We do, but it's
all right, then
today.
Fine. Because of Jimmy, we're going back to the Imam.
In gratitude and hope.
Hope you're happy,
guide
Jimmy.
Our nation, I got it now. Our leaders, our service members, and their families.
All right. It's basically the same old thing. We're all praying for political things.
Heavenly Father, eternal God.
Now, this is a bishop of... All right, I'm guessing of maybe a Pentecostal church?
I think so.
We gather in your majestic and presence today, grateful for the blessings and freedom and peace.
There we go. All right, so it was all politically bent. I don't think I'll ever be invited to one of these. I don't think that I'd ever go on a platform with all of these other religions. But I think I would be more like the imam. My prayer would become a sermon. Lord, as I stand here before you in Christ, because he's the second person of the Trinitarian Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the only true and living God, salvation belongs to Christ and Christ alone. I pray for the people on this platform that they would come to know the true and living God, because currently they don't. I would probably pray something like that, and then that would be my last appearance on an ecumenical platform. What's it called, Jimmy?
The True Christian's Love to the Unseen Christ.
That's our religion. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. President Trump delivered another campaign promise last week, signing an executive order to defund NPR and PBS, directing the Corporation for Public Broadcasting to halt the flow of taxpayer dollars to these media outlets. Meanwhile, the New York Times appears to have discovered a strange new artifact worn by some Christians, the cross. In a head-spinning 1,400-word article, the Times breathlessly explained this exotic symbol to its readers, noting that it first emerged during the Roman Empire. Imagine writing for an American newspaper and assuming your audience needs the history of the cross explained to them. And if that was not disturbing news, here's some more disturbing news. The Wall Street Journal has revealed that Meta's A1 chatbots will engage in graphic sex talk with users, even children, using the voices of Disney characters and celebrities. Meta's chatbots are sophisticated enough to recognize this behavior is illegal. One even role-played being arrested for statutory rape, yet continued anyway. Meta dismissed the findings as manipulative, claiming the scenarios were manufactured, but parents shouldn't find comfort in hollow denials like that. And on Good Friday this year, while Christians worldwide commemorated Christ's sacrifice, a Pakistani court sentenced a Christian to death under the country's notorious blasphemy laws. The Protestant believer was accused of writing content that allegedly sparked anti-Christian riots in 2023. Despite this violence, most attackers remain free, while this Christian faces execution. Meanwhile, in America's own religious liberty battle, the Supreme Court heard arguments last week, which will determine whether states can exclude religious schools from charter programs. Justice Brett Kavanaugh noted that previous rulings have made clear you can't treat religious people and religious institutions as second class in the United States. Yet so many try, don't they? Former Minnesota Governor Tim Walz revealed his understanding of his vice presidential candidacy alongside Kamala Harris, telling Harvard he was selected to code talk to white guys and serve as the permission structure for men to vote for a black woman. As much as what Governor Walz says, that's pretty tone deaf. And Nike is in the news, quietly funding a transgender activist's ambitious study on puberty blockers for minors, measuring athletic performance of gender-confused adolescents before and after chemical interventions. While the company proudly promotes its LGBTQIA+ commitment, it hasn't publicly acknowledged financing research that critics call dangerous experimentation on children. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at fortisinstitute.org. And don't forget, you can also subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. Haggai was a prophet around the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. When the efforts to rebuild the temple had stopped, Haggai encouraged the people to continue and reminded them of God's presence among them and the importance of assembling together to worship. When you consider your priorities, give careful attention to the worship of God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Ruh-roh, this does not bode well for the planet. This is Wretched Radio. No doubt you've read some statistics somewhere in your news feed that the birth rate, it is plummeting. We are, I think, historically low levels of replacing ourselves in the West. And in America, it ain't looking bright. Even CBS News discovered this trend. You know, a blind knife finds a squirrel in the drawer twice a day. CBS News doing a lengthy, it's Eye on America. So this is kind of their longer piece where they focused on young people who choose to not have babies. It's not that they can't have babies. They don't want to have babies. This should break our hearts. And we should be aware of this as Christians, not because we simply want the kids to be doing what we've always been doing, but because we want what is really good for them, what is profound for them. Shout out, this is necessary. This isn't to elevate marriage over being single. The Bible just doesn't do that. But the Bible does say that marriage is the norm. Marriage is what most people do. This is not to diminish being single. You can't currently find a spouse. Your heart longs for that. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. The Bible says that there's advantages to both. But marriage is what most people do for a lot of reasons. Drive, desires, companionship, making babies. For Christians, it should be to paint a picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ as we play our roles of the bride of Christ and Jesus Christ, so where the wife plays the role of the church, the man plays the role of Jesus Christ, so that the world can see the gospel in full display. Those are all of the beautiful parts about marriage, but apparently we have not been speaking about it loudly enough because the internet has persuaded young people, don't do it, don't get married, and don't make babies.
As the oldest of the baby boomers, including President Trump, turn 80 next year.
Why was that thrown in there? What kind of little poke with whatever?
And the youngest become eligible for Social Security. He is pushing for a second baby boom. With the U.S. birth rate declining, Mr. Trump is considering incentives for having kids, including a $5,000 bonus. But
By the way, I haven't read all of the details on that, but my understanding is that $5,000 bonus goes to the mother. I don't think that's a good way to do it. I think it should go to the parents. Why? Because you don't just want to have a bunch of Elon Musks out there, if you know what I'm saying. We don't want single mothers. We want married mothers. So I think if the government is going to get involved and incentivize making babies, not sure that's their biblical mandate, but if they're going to do it, promote marriage too. We don't need more single moms. We don't need single. What we want are married couples. And please note, if you happen to be a single mom, single dad, again, I'm not disparaging you. You know how hard it is. You know the struggles. And you feel the heartache that your child doesn't have somebody the opposite gender inside of the home. You know that. So I'm not trying to trash you. But I am saying that we should be encouraging not just making babies, but getting married and making babies.
For many young couples, there is no amount of money. Nikki Batiste has tonight's Eye in America from just west of Mar-a-Lago.
Okay.
You were everything that
Tiana and PJ Morales said their I do's 7 years ago.
I'm super excited to take the next step in our life.
As newlyweds, they traveled the world, and before too long, they say, family would ask if they plan to have children.
Now, please note, you're going to trigger your kids if you ask questions like this.
But the Florida couple says they're not having kids. Not now, not ever.
When you have told people you're child-free, what have the reactions been?
Why?
Yeah, I'll get typically a blank stare or, oh, really?
Well, that's because we know that making babies is a good thing. This isn't about imposing a generational preference on the next generation. Having babies is amazing. Being in a family, even when they function all wobbly because, well, they can and they do, it's so profound. It's so much deeper. Even Elon Musk got that. Now, he's making babies with pretty much any woman he seems to meet, but he gets it, that having a baby is a profound thing. So if you happen to be younger, and let's just say that you're married, but you're currently not able to have children, when older people ask, it's really not to interrogate. It's not to make you feel bad. It really isn't. It isn't motivated by something that's mean. Just want to know, because that's kind of the natural thing to do.
Like pity?
Yeah, pity. You don't want a mini you running around?
See that, and they're smiling about it. Having a mini you running around is amazing.
Tiana, now 37, says when she was younger, she assumed she'd be a mom. But after spending her early 20s as a nanny, caring for four kids at once, that assumption changed.
It just dawned on me, is this what I would want to do every single day?
If it were your kids, you betcha. You betcha. Unless, of course, you've got a sour attitude. I know the tasks are rather mundane. The dirty diapers, the sippy cups. I get that. It's an image bearer of God that you produced with the person that you're in a lifelong covenantal relationship with. Whoa. Can I understand how she might be like, "Whoa, I wouldn't want to be doing that." Well, that's because they're not your kids. When they're your kids, that is the game changer.
The U.S. fertility rate has plummeted in the last two decades and now sits near record lows, according to CDC data released last week.
Like 1.5? Yikes.
Some young adults say high costs are holding them back. Others fear climate change.
Hold on. High costs. I understand that is a consideration. I do. But I don't think that should put you in the mindset of we could never have babies. No doubt that, I mean, if history is any sort of instructor on the issue of economy, it'll get better. It should get better. But even if it doesn't, the goal should be, the desire should be, we're going to have to figure out a way to make it work by having children. In fact, by the way, Jimmy, I was thinking, remember last week, the woman who went viral on the TikTok video machine thing. She was lamenting. She's married to an amazing man. He's an amazing husband. He's an amazing guy on paper. But he didn't do the dishes. He didn't empty the trash. So I wanted to divorce him. The distribution, her lament was the distribution of duties. And I think we talked about this a bit, but I think it warrants a little bit more attention because I think she kind of agitated most people, but I do think her observation was correct based on the culture that we have built for her. Now, I'm not saying that you and I are individually responsible, but I am saying that our society, as it evolves, not in an evolutionary way, but as it grows and it morphs because of, say, the Industrial Revolution, the technological revolution, dynamics change. The family dynamic, you and I as evangelicals tend to think mom stays home, husband goes off to work. I don't think that's ideal. It used to be in our agrarian culture that we were home together working. We were home together taking care of the kids. And the distribution of duties played itself out based on strengths and weaknesses as dad was a stay-at-home dad and mom was a working mom in the home. So do I get it? So this woman, she works full time, puts the kids in daycare. She's a social media guru. She wants to be an influencer. She's married. She has four children. And she's lamenting that she has to do more with the kids than the husband does because of work demands. And I understand that because I don't think that this is the ideal scenario. So in defense of that young lady, I think we need to identify that. And that can happen it's going to happen in a home because I don't think the home was intended to be, see at six, pop. And then if she has to go to work too, it is going to fall on the mom. Even so, we need to make marriage and making babies something that is an ideal, something that we strive for, even despite disparity of duties, even despite economic struggles, they're worth it. That's what I'm saying. They're worth it. But how's about this next excuse? Concerns about climate change? Are you kidding me? Concerns about climate change? They don't want to make babies?
Or are putting their careers first. But many say they simply don't want kids.
Well, they put their careers first. Yep. I understand the pressure that our society has put on that. Besides, there's pressure to, eat. You got to live. You got to work. I just don't think that our current structure is one that is actually good for families, which leads to a lot of these young people saying, not going to do it. We're scared. of the future. We're frightened. And besides, we want to focus on ourselves. We want to do traveling. I want to work. I want my career to advance. I'm not suggesting that any of those concerns need to be totally obliterated, but what I do think the church needs to start screaming, marriage is awesome. Making babies. I was watching a young man at our church, and the baby come up to him and just grab his hand, and he just instinctively, you know, put out his finger. And I thought, oh dude, someday you're gonna look back at that and go, oh, that was precious. And indeed it is. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. It might buy you a soft drink, but what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And when you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, understand this. You're not just giving money. You're preaching the gospel to a student at Georgia Tech. You're discipling the young man struggling with pornography. And you're equipping a pastor in a small rural church. And the work, it's nowhere near finished. The fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership makes it all possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org, because when faithful people give faithfully, the gospel advances powerfully. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Giffert wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Pre-order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at FortisInstitute.org/lies. That's FortisInstitute.org/lies.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the bridegroom. Christians are waiting for Christ's return, which the book of Revelation describes as the wedding of the Lamb. Christ will come to usher his bride, his church, into eternity with him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You don't have to yell at me, Jimmy. I'll do my job in here. This is Wretched Radio. Shouting. He's just always shouting at me. Go ahead. Dial it back. What do you want me to talk about?
Truth Unhindered.
Why didn't you say it that way to me before?
That is how I was.
You were just screaming your head off.
Don't be so sensitive.
Sorry, it's the 21st century. Truth Unhindered. It's our new match campaign. Super excited about this. Got to tell you, this is, I don't know that you'll be as encouraged as I am by this, but we endeavored about 2 years ago to really build the ministry. We always wanted it to be a ministry that could be a legacy that would endure. So we added five, six, I don't even know how many fellows we've added to Fortis Institute because we want it to be strong. We want to stand firm in a time when ministries are just wobbling and crashing all over the place. And we wanted to build something that would endure. Well, we launched this whole clambake called Fortis Institute, and God is blessing it. We're reaching more people. We're creating way more material than we ever have. And we're giving away more stuff than ever before. But guess what we want to do? We want to give away all of it, all of it. We've historically sold some of our resources because they're big productions. We've sold them because, well, the ministry then, of course, needs that to pay the bills. But we want to give it away. But we've got to replace that revenue. And we're hoping that you'll want to join us in this endeavor so that we can give away. We're going to close the store. We're going to have a sale this summer to really just empty the warehouse of all CDs, DVDs, whatever hard copies we've got. We're just going to give away everything electronically. And that means we can give it away around the globe. And that means because there isn't a price tag connected, we will be getting into thousands of churches. And I suspect a lot of them churches don't have good resources. In fact, they probably have some real stinkeroos. Would you consider joining us? It's the Truth Unhindered campaign. It's a match campaign. And this, and I'm telling you too, coming up, this university campus initiative that we're embarking on to go to campuses and do big events on campuses that aren't those, you know, trash the kids and then throw it up on the YouTube machine and get a bazillion views. Don't want to do that. We don't want to embarrass kids. I mean, what kind of pleasure would that produce? That you make a kid look dumb because he doesn't know his Bible? Yikes, that's the last thing we want to do. We want to go love these kids and we want to go show them that the Bible is reliable and they shouldn't deconstruct their faith. And they should use the Bible for their guidebook for life and use the Bible for all of life and godliness, including their emotional issues. So we're going to Kennesaw State. Greg Gifford's going to fly in for it because we're going to do it in conjunction with his book, Lies My Therapist Told Me, to help the kids. We're hoping to do another one. Can't mention the name of the university nearby because the campus is experiencing a prolific number of suicides. And they're out of cards. It's like, how do we help these young people? So we're hoping to go to campuses. We're going to Oklahoma State in October, I think, somewhere in the time in the fall, because the ministry wants us to talk about deconstruction, or better yet, anti-deconstruction, this pernicious trend that is being led by these internet social media influencers. It's taken a lot of our kids. So we want to go to these campuses. And what I'm trying to say is the Lord appears to be blessing this ministry. And I would like to invite you to join us. We just want to reach more people with the gospel. We want more people to enter into the joy of their master, the joy of their master, to come to the banquet. That's what we want. And if that's your heartbeat, consider right now supporting us. The Truth Unhindered campaign, you can find all the deets. See there, Jimmy? That's hip lingo.
It is.
The deets at fortisinstitute.org/truth. fortisinstitute.org/truth. Jimmy, I think that's actually a dated word. It's my experience that the generations, we are so big into these markers. I don't know if it's always been this way. The Gen X, the Gen Z, the Gen Y, the millennials, the baby boomers. Was it that way? Like, in the 1950s and 60s, it seems that lately we just dig these generational divides. I don't know who determined that's how it should be done, what a generation is. Even so, I've noticed that generations know their own lingo. And the lingo of the millennials, not the same as Gen Zers. They've got different words. So for instance, here's one. Jimmy, you're going to have to use your AI machine. Okay. I'm pretty sure the word is please. Not as in, would you please go look on AI why Gen Zs are using the word please? Although if you would please do that, that would be great. Okay. But I think they're using it in a different way. Here's another word. Rather than saying, and I don't think this one is bad, by the way. I get this one. Instead of saying, okay, I got it, or I understand you, you just say, heard, instead of saying received, heard. Well, you know, everything's got to be one word. You got to make everything as brief as possible when you're texting. So heard means I got it. So Jimmy, did you heard me regarding please?
I did.
All right. What does it mean?
So it's not your imagination. It says Gen Z really does seem to use the word please more often, especially in text, emails, and even online requests. But it's not the polite, informal please your grandmother used.
There it is.
Gen Z use, think of the Gen Z version as a dramatic eye roll. Like a sigh.
Oh, and sigh. Please.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it means.
That's the main reason. They also use it to soften a demand.
Well, that would be please.
Right.
Right. That seems normal.
Self-deprecating begging. Please, I'm literally on my knees. Please.
Well, okay, that's not wildly off.
But yeah, and tone markers in texts.
Tone markers in texts.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what that means.
It doesn't really explain either.
I have no idea what that means. I thought it was sort of like Prego. You can just use it for anything. Open the door. Thank you very much. I'm going for a walk. Prego. And that's the Italian like catch-all word. Hmm. Please, for the whippersnappers. They've got their own lingo. Furthermore, they've got their own ideologies. CBS doing a news report on young adults without children who don't want them. They're using statistics from Pew Research.
We are raised to believe that it is our destiny to become parents.
Well, destiny, we're bringing in some people who are now older, who don't, they made a decision long ago to not have children. We're raised to believe it's our destiny. Well, not your destiny, it's your delight. You get to have children. It's a good thing.
Amy Blackstone and her husband Lance decided years ago to be a family of just two. Blackstone, a University of Maine sociology professor.
That explains stuff.
Has published a number of studies on those who call themselves child-free by choice.
Child-free person will say, I valued my relationship with my partner so much.
My relationship with myself so much. Child-free, wow.
That I didn't want another party changing that relationship.
They don't detract. They enhance it.
A parent will say, the imagined relationship with a child is so important to me that I want that relationship.
The imagined relationship. No, the reality relationship. There is, I don't know that anybody has ever been able to articulate what it means to have a child. I know poems have been written, books have been written, but I remember with our first child, the thing that struck me so much, I mean, I just loved it immediately. I remember they were like, would you like to bathe your child? Yeah, you bet I do. I was like, get me in the game, nurse. Get out of the way. I'll take it from here. Just loved it immediately. But then it just shocked me how this little person never looked up and went, oh, why should I like be living with you? Why do I follow you all over the house? Why do I just get in the van when I'm told? It's amazing. It's not like, okay, we need to sit down and have a talk, child. You belong to us and you're going to have to follow us everywhere we go. No, they just do it. And I was just like, whoa, this is not imagined. This is amazing.
Was it financial? Was it not finding the lifestyle?
Their lifestyle. I don't know if you could hear that. It was a little bit muddy. Why did you decide to not do it? They're having a little gathering here in a coffee shop. Bad idea, producer. The volume and the sound is awful. We just didn't want the burden of children.
When Tiana's friends began having kids, she started organizing occasional get-togethers for others who want to be child-free.
It just seems like every time you turn on the news, something bad's happening.
Everything's bad is happening on the news. This is a scared generation. These politicians have frightened children out of having children.
Not the world I want to raise a kid in.
Don't want to raise a kid in this world. Let me tell you, you think this world is bad? Ha ha, you should have been around when the Visigoths sacked Rome.
I think we'll show climate change.
That's just painful to listen to. Church, it's time that we start shouting that marriage, it's delightful. Sure, it's hard, but isn't any good thing? You should listen to Brad Bigney's podcast, Thrive, if you're struggling, by the way. And by the way, listen to it. It'll like get you high on marriage, because we should be high on marriage and we should be high on making babies. Because as a human being, is there anything more profound and more delightful? Until tomorrow, go serve your king.